Welcome to the Circle 31 podcast. I'm your host, Ayanna Robinson Dixon, and this is the Love Series. My guests today are Erica and Roger Cartlidge. They have been married for 4 years. It'll be 5 years in March. And this couple has great insight on what it takes to make a blended family work. That's lots of real and practical wisdom here. Now, here is my conversation with Erica and Roger Cartlidge.
Hi, I'm Erica Cartlidge.
Roger Cartlidge.
And we have been married almost 5 years. This March will be 5 years. And I am a personal stylist and image architect. So I say I help people cultivate their confidence using fashion and style.
I'm director of unpaid interns, but actually my regular day job is an account manager with Verizon Wireless.
Well, Roger and Erica, thank you so much for being our guests today on the Circle 31 podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thanks for having us.
So my first question to you is love all you need in a marriage?
No.
Why not, Roger? Why not?
I mean, it sounds great and it's very Instagrammable and, you know, you can put the music behind it, but I mean, I won't let them say work because work has a bad connotation, but like there is effort that you need, and you definitely need to ask qualifying questions before you enter into a union with somebody. And I don't just mean the like, oh, you know, but like you need to ask about their family background. You need to ask about ideals on like raising kids, conflict resolution, you know. What kind of stuff they do in the bathroom? Like, are they one of those people that take a long time? Because there are little things that you discover. And like, no, mind you, this is my second time. So I learned a hard lesson the first time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, my perspective may be a little more pragmatic than her.
We need Roger. We need that.
No, I actually agree. I don't think love is all you need. I think it's naive to think that that's all you need. You need communication skills. Sometimes you need negotiation skills. You need to learn how to fight fair, not hit below the belt. I do think there are some practical questions that you need to ask because every marriage has non-negotiables. And there are some things that if two people want different things, some parts you can compromise on, but there are other things that are not a compromise. Mm-hmm. And so to think that love will allow you, simply just love will allow you to overcome things that are non-negotiables and where there can't be a compromise, for example, wanting kids or not wanting kids, it's not like you can go half on a baby.
Right.
And so I think, you know, it's naive to think that love will conquer that or that you can go into something and you'll change someone's mind about the way they fundamentally feel about something.
And to just quickly expand, I think people can't look to social media to like figure out, you know, what their version of love and marriage is. And I think a big thing, even I did this the first time, is that people fall in love with the potential of somebody rather than the person that they are today. Like, you got to love the person that they are today, like in the house.
So true.
Rollers, bonnet, like as a man, you know, the guy, the cutoff. The like, is he making that throat noise again? But like all of those things, you have to love that person as they are in front of you today with the potential that they may grow, like that you're going to get to know that person as well, but not falling in love with the person that you think they're going to be in 5 years. Like, oh, okay, he's cool now. I don't really love him, but in 5 years, he's going to be, because things change in 5 days. And then if you marry a person off that potential, you end up usually feeling resentful, and it's not their fault, you know, that's your fault getting into it. So it's like, yeah, you can fall, like people fall in love with love as opposed to falling in love with the other person, if that makes sense.
Really, I mean, just the realistic, like just the real of it all, you know, because like you say, we can come enamored with the idea of what we think love is, and realistically, like you mentioned, we can't change people. People are who they are, and we have to be able to accept them how they are day one. Yeah. But here's my next question. So we know most of us and our listeners have heard the traditional wedding vows. We know that the vows include the phrase for better or for worse. So tell us about the challenges of navigating for worse.
Well, I think I can start with that. So I think when you get married, you operate under this assumption that for worse is some future state that you might have to tackle. And I know for us, and I hope it's okay that I share this, my mother-in-law passed away 10 days before our marriage, our wedding. So we started navigating the for worse. And I think people think, oh, I'm going to get married. We're going to have these blissful early years without really thinking about what happens when time gets hard. How do you navigate through difficult situations? How do you support a spouse through a loss? How do you navigate illness if someone in the marriage gets sick? We have a toddler. Toddlers are for worse sometimes. And I think you have to have a solid foundation before you get married and not think, oh, when we get married, we'll build the solid foundation. So when for worse comes in 10 years, we'll be ready. You have no idea when it's going to come. So you need to be ready and have a rock solid foundation before that. But you also need to learn how to grow and change and navigate that because, you know, how someone needs your support at one time might change. Support might look different. What your partner needs might look different. And I think part of navigating for worse is being able to hear the other person and what they need and figure out how to adjust for that. And I don't think I always got it right. I don't think he always gets it right, but I think we both always try to do that. And one thing that's helped us navigate that is this question of, do you want, I need you to help me feel this, or I need you to help me fix this. And sometimes we've even just framed conversations in that way
That's
because he's
good.
very much like, I want to give you a solution. And sometimes I'm like, I need you to just let me yell and scream and cry and get it off my chest, and then I'll be fine. And so that question has helped navigate a lot of the really tough times because we can figure out, are we solutioning for this tough time, or are we just feeling the feelings right now?
That's really good.
No, I mean, I think people have to one realize everybody's worst is not the same, even though you're married.
Yeah, that's true.
And people, I think, especially now, and it's unfortunate, people are so caught up in perception and the view of things and a lot of comparison because of social media and things like that. And people spend a lot of time and a lot of money, being honest, on the wedding for this view of what it's supposed to be like. But they don't always invest the time to go to the counseling before to prepare you to set up for that, like set you up to think and ask questions that are going to come up. And like in our case, like sometimes it's sooner rather than later. And so it's like, oh, better or for worse, but you get, people that's caught up, they're there for the better. Like, oh, okay, one spouse is making, call it six figures, seven figures, so they got the house. They're able to kind of live, and kind of go through things on a whim. And they love the person as long as that's happening. But as soon as things get tough and the things aren't there, they don't, people find out that they weren't in love with the money. They were in love with the lifestyle. They were in love with what that person necessarily, like tangibly provided them, as opposed to actually being in love with the person that's in front of them. And standing in the gap to, rebuild whatever it is, or come to be like, you know what, it's my turn to do this and hold things down for a minute and things like that, because they talk to too many of the wrong people, that don't know what marriage or just, and it doesn't have to necessarily be marriage. I think the title of marriage, people get caught up, but just like a relationship is, and that translates even to like their friendships. They don't know how to navigate those things. So it's like when you're taking it like for better or for worse, it's like, wanting to be with that person on your worst days and then wanting to be with them on their worst days, but wanting to fight through and push through to see the better days again, rather than just like, hey, we're at our worst. It's been great. We're gonna go ahead and high five this thing. And everybody go their separate ways, thinking it's going to be easier to navigate on your own when, I mean, you're not here to be and take on life alone.
Very true. Agreed. Now, two of you have a blended family. You guys have a blended family. So I'd like you to talk to our audience about making a blended family work. That some of our listeners may be struggling with making it work. Could you speak to that, please?
I think Erica prepared herself in a way that a lot of people don't. Like, people get into blended families and they just kind of like, oh, that I'm just instantly going to love it and think that it's going to be great. You know, they listen to people that it's usually, you know, the guy that has done something crazy and, you know, it's just going to walk in and all mothers get along and they high five when they see each other and hug. Like, oh, you're going to take care of my children. I can't wait. It don't be like that. There's a lot of spouses, and I say spouse or like ex-spouses, we'll just say co-parents, you know, and it's genderless of that aren't happy to see the other person move on, and that they've now that they're a better person, the person they may have wished the person was, or the other person that they married is like a step up from them, and then it hits them in their gut and they can't take it to navigate that. So you have to mentally and emotionally prepare yourself for what could be a situation, or it could be like running the gauntlet for like months and years, and knowing that it's like, okay, this is, I'm doing this for the kids and for the person I'm with, rather than I just want to be here to fight and just like perpetuate the myths that are out there about like co-parenting, but also just like knowing what you're able to do and what the situation like, and just I think deciding up front if this is something you can deal with or not. Because it's not fair to the kids to jump in. Like, I think I can figure it out. I think I can, you know, whoop-de-whoop. And everybody can't. You don't always know that up front. But if you don't make those thoughts and decisions up front, why are you putting yourself in the life of some children who have nothing to do with the situation? Parent, you have to know how to stand, be there and stand in the gap, because sometimes you're in between a rock and a hard place. Like, my wife said this, his mom said that. What am I going to do? And you have to be able to navigate that properly so that that way you can, because it makes things easier because you have to be the buffer for the new person in the relationship. And, you know, you have to be the buffer for the kids. And so I think if you are putting yourself like, what's best for the kids? How am I best going to navigate this? It's not always easy up front, but it makes it a lot more livable as time goes on. And then it's like taking that stance usually, you know, puts the other co-parent in a place of, you know, the ball's on your court. I'm doing everything right. And eventually, you know, having faith that the kids will see that at some point, even if they don't see it right away. So it's not for the faint of heart. Definitely don't go in with the thought of, oh, you know, she's gonna be great, or, you know, the baby, like with an attitude about the other co-parent, because you don't know them, you don't know the whole story. And until you get in there, you might realize, like, oh, I see why you're mad. And you're looking at your spouse like, oh, you was dumb. You deserve every bit of that heat. Like, I get it. Like, but, and then, you know, or vice versa. But like, no, that chick's trash. Like, I love your kids, but their mama crazy. And I see why, you know, it just gives you a different perspective going in. And I'm gonna be quiet now so she can get in there.
I think one thing is being a bonus parent is a it's a ministry. There's a grace on your life for that. And I think a lot of times people don't realize it's a ministry. And if you approach it as a ministry, I think then how you do it and you live your life will be different. So, you know, your ministry is to those children. You're stewarding those children, and that's your responsibility. And so all the decisions you make, even with sometimes like your ego can get bruised, your feelings can get hurt. But when you love those children like your own, then every decision you make and what you're doing is in the best interest of the kids. And I am saying that because sometimes what is in the best interest of the children has bruised my ego or has hurt my feelings because I have wanted to be petty, you know, when I felt like their mom did something that was wrong. But at the end of the day, my responsibility and my ministry is to those kids. And so I think that a lot of people aren't actually ready for the level of responsibility that comes with that. I have learned more about dying unto myself, being a step parent, than in any church sermon,
my
any
goodness.
service. That was when I was like, oh, this is what that means.
Ooh.
To be crucified day, like that. That's when I got that scripture. I said, oh, this is what it means to be crucified with Christ. Okay.
Wow.
And so I think a lot of people don't actually think that. They think, oh, I'm going to come in, the kids are going to love me, it's going to be great, it's going to be easy. Now, the kids loving you makes it easier.
Yeah, they love her sometimes more than they love me sometimes. And that takes a little shot. You're like, oh. You're like, oh, I talked this up. Like, they ain't even calling me back. Hold on.
The real one they love is their little brother. They love their little brother.
But I mean, but at the same time, it's like, that's an amazing thing. And you just have to eat it. That it's like, I can't even get a call back. Oh, no, I talked to her yesterday. She picked up the phone. What the?
So, I mean, so that does. It helps, you know, when the kids love you. But our older two, they're teenagers and on the verge of being a teenager. And that's a whole other struggle. Yeah. So will you carry that grace when they turn into teenagers and just lose their mind, because that's what teenagers do? But I think a lot of people don't actually take that stewardship of bonus children seriously. And I think that's where it leads to a lot of conflict, because when you don't take it seriously, then it's really easy to get angry or upset or want to be petty.
Man, that's so deep. I want to get your thoughts, both of you, on the significance of Philippians chapter 4, verse 13.
Do you want to read it? It's simple.
Sure, let's read it.
I'll talk first.
I'm pretty sure it said something like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Yes.
One of four verses that I actually know off the top of my head.
You do not have to tell them that.
I mean, we're going to be honest. I mean, but Drew, like, both your parents are ministers.
Yeah.
She grew up in the church. Like, I went to church. So there's a difference between, like, growing up in the church and being really in it and just going to church.
Yeah.
Like, I observed things in church. And then one grandmother's church was Methodist. It was a little more subdued.
Mm-hmm.
Then my other grandmother's church was from the South. And
yeah.
Pentecostal.
Oh, yeah. So,
seeing people, you know, catch the spirit and all the other stuff that wasn't quite explained.
Yep.
You know, that's it. But anyway, but with that, I think it helps ground us, especially for her. It grounds her and brings her in. And so it makes me want to do more. And we have like certain little, like, this is terrible. But some of the Instagram pages where they go over, like, have songs or skits to certain things, I'm asking her because it gives me greater understanding, but it helps me understand her. So the Christ who strengthens me part, like, brings our marriage together in like a bond,
okay,
in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so when things are happening, it like, it fills us both up in that way. It makes us be able to be better people, better stewards. Got to throw that word in there. Better stewards to each other and to our kids. So like Christ strengthens us, that like, it's a bond that brings us together. It's a commonality that we have, and we can instill it in our kids.
Yes.
And it helps with the other aspects of the marriage as well. See, I brought it full circle.
That was good. I was wondering where you were going. So that was good.
You brought it back around.
Yeah, I mean, I think you put that quite nicely. And I do. I think it also just reminds you not to lean on your own strength.
Yes.
You're not on your own understanding.
Not on your own understanding. None of that. But I think, you know, especially going back to that part about dying unto yourself daily and being crucified with Christ, that takes a strength that is not your own strength to sometimes restrain, to sometimes, you know, be like, I want to say this thing to my husband, but I'm not going to say it. I want to go there, but I'm not going to do it. So it's everything. It's not just the big, tough, important things. Sometimes it's the, like, yes, I have filled the toilet paper roll every day for the last month, but I'm not going to say anything because it's not worth the fight, right?
I guess I'm moving this laundry along and it's been down here for several days.
True story.
It's me yet again fighting this war with laundry. But true guess what? Story. It is what it is. I'm going to go ahead, take this basket upstairs for the fourth time. And
he does. He moves my laundry along and he's really good at it.
This is real talk, you guys. So, Erica, you are an entrepreneur. So, how do you balance being a wife, a mom, a business owner? And then my question to Roger is, how do you support Erica in her business?
Yeah, so I got rid of the idea that there's any such thing as balance. And once I let go of that, then I'm able to say, okay, we have a really busy week from work. So I schedule these play dates to get y'all out the house, but I'm with clients for, 8 hours today. Or to say, you know what? Our son is having surgery. I'm taking the 2 week recuperation period just off. I'm not accepting clients. So once I got rid of this idea that I have to balance it and that I can go all in, in one place or give, 80% one place and 20% and then switch the
Yeah,
dynamics,
that's
it
true.
was freeing because I stopped feeling like, oh, I have to juggle and do everything all the time. And I think Roger's a really good partner because he'll say, yeah, you've been crushing the entrepreneurship thing, but we need wife and mom right
Oh,
now.
good,
You
good.
know, or in the summer when our bonus kids are with us, I slow down because I value the time with them. I want to spend time with them. I want to be with them. And so I think once I let go of the myth of balance, everything just started working together better. But Roger's really good at communicating, hey, you're a little out of whack. Things are skewed. Let's bring it back.
That or I just pass out on the couch and then it's like, okay, yeah, he's tired. So, but I mean, I think that's what comes with, those conversations ahead of time. And too many people want to be right as opposed to what's right for the relationship. So it's like you can't get caught up in the ego of it because people are like, oh, you're the man, you're supposed to, run the house. Like, look, let's be honest for a second here. Detail-oriented business stuff, her thing is working. So sometimes it's leading by being able to step to the side a little bit and being like, this is your thing. We're gonna ride this till the wheels fall off, and my time will eventually come, or my time will be needed to do whatever needs to be done. But right now, me and James is in these streets, we're going to the park, or it's like, let me get certain things in the house together because this is working, because it makes for our house to be in a better situation rather than, oh, well, let me try to compete and do this and do that. Now we got to find a babysitter. Now James is losing out on time with his parents because, oh, I'm working 20, 80 hours a week. She's doing this, that, and the third. And he's just in the wind. Whereas, like, okay, we can make it work. And then sometimes it's just like having to communicate, like, look, I need to get up out of here. I'm just letting you know now. Like, I'll go to the movies by myself, or I'll go hang with like frat brothers or stuff like that. But my issue was, like, I wasn't communicating that at first, and we get frustrated when it's like, you gotta be like, all right, I gotta get out of here. Like, we need to reel it in or figure out a plan for this next week or so to balance things out, and then making sure to set time aside. Because one of the things we did was move to where we had family closer. So one, the kids can be able to see their family more, but two, that means we can get out the house.
Yes, that's good.
Like, oh, you want to be auntie house today, buddy. Like, and
Good.
we'll just go get breakfast, or we'll take time off at the same time, and just simple stuff like going to lunch or things, and just being able to, like, see your partner win means it's a win for their family, as opposed to, oh, they're ahead of me. Like, oh, she's got a business, I need to go get a business. I don't need to get no business. I don't need Everybody, contrary to popular belief, everybody's not an entrepreneur.
That's it. That's so true,
I don't need
Roger.
to have an LLC, and start slanging real estate or crypto, or
There you go.
I'm saying, there's stuff I can learn as we're doing these different things. And it might be something that then I may have to address later within her businesses that, like, okay, I just need to help. But it's like having my steady job, steady hours allows me to be more of a helpmate. It also gives me peace of mind as opposed to trying to figure out what to do with the kids when all three of them are here. Because that's a whole thing. And then, like, even when it's just the 3-year-old. So just being able to be confident enough within yourself and supportive enough of your mate to see them seeing their dreams go through
That's good.
makes a huge difference, rather than trying to run the show. Like, no, nah, I'm the man, I got this. You don't need to be. Nah, bro, go ahead. We going to this conference together. This is us vacation.
That's good, Roger. That's really good. Erica, as we wrap up our time with you and Roger, can you please tell us more about your business and where we can find you on social media?
Absolutely. So my business is called Your Chic Is Showing, and I am a personal stylist and image architect. So I really focus on helping people elevate their personal style through one-on-one styling services, as well as some small group programs. And I even offer digital programs. So if you want to do things at your own pace, you can. The best place to find me on social media, I'm always hanging out on Instagram. It's at Your Chic Is Showing. So if you type in Your Chic, it'll be the first thing that pops up. My Facebook is the same thing, and my website is yourchicisshowing.com. So come hang out, say hi, and let's just connect and chat.
Well, Roger and Erica, this has been so much fun, very enlightening, and I know that our listeners have been blessed by you sharing your gems and nuggets with us. So thank you both so much for being guests today on the Circle 31 podcast.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you for
having us.
That concludes today's episode of the Love Series. We hope that you were encouraged and inspired. Visit our website at Circle31InternationalWomen'sMinistry.org to sign up to receive podcast updates. And as a thank you for signing up, you will receive the 28-day Love Series devotional guide. Check out our YouTube channel for the Love Series playlist. It's a collection of our guests' favorite songs. You can find us on YouTube at Circle 31 Women's M-I-N. That's Circle 31 W-O-M-E-N-S M-I-N. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Thank you for joining us today.